1079.
Blog Talk Radio.
See, that smells good.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening. We've got a great show planned for you tonight, and I'm certainly looking forward to it, as many of you all have been as well. This show tonight is one of those that came into our studio and they asked us if we would do this particular show. So we're going to grant the wish and thus bring you the programming tonight. All right, just before I get started, I want to let everybody know that my website has been upgraded and updated. So I'm very excited about that. You can certainly go on at drjessewalker.com. Now, there are two places that you can go. Dr, no period, J-E-S-S-E, that's D-R-J-E-S-S-E, walker.com. Or you can elect to go to drjessewalkerinc.com, that's D-R-J-E-S-S-E-I-N-C.com. You can go to either one of those, and it will take you to the website. If you there's the website has our homepage and the store page combined. So I encourage each and every one of you all to browse that, take a look, see if there's something there that's of interest to you. Now, we do have the e-book, that's right, we do have the e-book available for immediate download. You simply go there and you look for the e-book, and it's on sale. That's right, it's really on sale. And I'd like you to, you send us your email along with, if you should place an order, also send us your email. We'll get that out to you right away for easy, accessible download, one of which I'm sure that you will enjoy. So once again, you go on drjessewalker.com, drjessewalkerinc.com, and take a look at the books and the e-books. The hardback book is there also. We're offering life coaching services, and those services are also on sale. For example, you can get for 90 minutes, you can get a $59.95 price, 60 minutes, $49, and for 30 minutes, $29. And in that particular case, it's like $1 a minute. So we have it there. I'm going to go ahead and bring somebody else in who's also an author, and he has two books out. That's none other than my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake. And you know, as they say, you hang around successful people and your destiny is bound to be there. So, Ms. Blake, welcome to this evening's broadcast. It's so nice to have you, and good evening.
Hi, Dr. Walker. How are you?
I'm doing just wonderful. I trust you had a great weekend. You were spared by those tornadoes, I see. I'm glad of that.
Yes, feeling very good about that. And you're right. You and I work very closely together on the show, and, of course, we do similar things. As you said, you're an awesome author and life coach. And I also do life coaching as well. And to find out any information about my services, you can just go to the website, fosteringleaders.org. That's fosteringleaders.org. Or give us a call at 770-866-2162.
All right, excellent, excellent. And go ahead and give them the name of your books.
The first book is called Falling in Love with Me, and it's a book about relationships and valuing who you are as a person. And the other book, which is only in the ebook format at this time, but will be coming out in publication hopefully this year, is called Dying to Wake Up. And they're both on my website.
Okay, excellent, excellent. That's excellent. Now tell me, just to back up just for a second, I want to ask, the tornadoes, I mean, is this, in your opinion, I know you're not from Atlanta, I don't think, but I know you're living there now, is this something that you, you're here in Atlanta where the tornadoes are, is this something that kind of is unusual with this, the weather conditions?
Not really. I mean, you know, this is tornado season. And, of course, as a meteorologist will tell you, you're seeing tornadoes spring up more frequently. We were here in Atlanta spared any really extensive damage. We had a few downed trees, but, you know, to my knowledge, no loss of life or anything like that. But it happens. And, you know, I used to live in Ohio, so I'm a little bit more used to them. But we certainly want to keep everybody in prayer that was affected by them and the people who lost homes, and it's definitely those families that lost loved ones.
Okay, excellent. All right. Are you ready for tonight's broadcast?
Yes, I am. Sounds like we're going to have another exciting show.
Okay, and just before we get started, let me ask, are there some topics that you've had in mind that maybe some people may have introduced to you that that they would like to hear over the air? So just give us a little rundown on, you know, a couple of those if you've heard some.
Well, the topic tonight has come up of, you know, couples who are unable to have children and the impact of that on a relationship. So I suspect we'll get into some of that this evening. Also, the whole idea of a lot of the population, well, not a lot, but African Americans and others are in prison. And what happens to those relationships when one of the partners goes to prison? And so we want to look at pursuing that and what happens to the relationship when they come home. And also, Dr. Walker just thought of, even military families, what happens when they've been separated for a long period of time and they reconnect. So those are things for future shows.
That is, I like that, as a matter of fact. You know, the one about a couple of military personnel who've been separated from each other for a period of time, what's it like once they reconnect? I think that that would be make an excellent show topic as well as some of the others. All right, we're going to go ahead and get right into the story for this evening, and we welcome all of our viewers, and we just want to go ahead and give this disclaimer that we thank all of you all for joining us on tonight's broadcast. For the record, this show does not claim to have all the answers, but together with your help, I can assure you that we can have some of the answers that might prove beneficial to your relationship. And as always, the opinions that are expressed and my food for, and my from my guests and other participants do not necessarily reflect the opinions that are expressed from this host. Furthermore, the opinions expressed here and throughout tonight's program are merely those of my own and those of my guests and co-hosts and other participants. Now, tonight's dialogue should not be perceived as a replacement or a substitute for the appropriate license, certified, or professional help in the appropriate. The information presented is for educational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Now, tonight's characters, we're going to go right to tonight's characters, are Indy and Jethro. Indy and Jethro. Now, this is a very good story, and it's I know it's a little unusual, but I'd like my listener audience to really pay close attention to this particular story. Now, in spite of the fact that they have been married 4 years, Indy and Jethro are finding it extremely difficult to get pregnant. They really want at least 3 children before they turn 35. They're both 30 and have their education and careers out of the way. They have an excellent relationship, but are both stressed because of their desire to have children and meet their deadline, which does not seem to be happening anytime soon. They have prayed and had various tests done, coupled with trying different inhibitors under a physician's care, but nothing seems to be working for this childless couple. Their medical exams have not shown that there is anything preventing them from having children. Now it's gotten to the point that Envy is falling into a depressive state of mind because her closest girlfriends all have at least two or more children, and she feels as though she is missing out, and now actually seems to take things out on Jethro, which is causing unusual problems in their marriage that they never really encountered before. And the question that we start out with tonight, why do you think not having children is such a problem for Indy and Jethro? And so we go on with the further question by saying, please don't go away. There is more to come right now here live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, which, of course, brings us to tonight's topic, the impact on relationships and marriages of childless couples, starting right here live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Now, some upcoming shows, as mentioned by Ms. Blake earlier, things you should consider before you divorce. And then another topic that's also coming, how the original family style, the original family lifestyle, that's when maybe people who are in their second or third marriage, but this goes back to show how the original family lifestyle may significantly change after divorce. And these are shows that you really don't want to miss. All right, let's go ahead and start out, Ms. Blake, and let me pose that question to you. Why do you think not having children is such a problem for this couple, Indy and Jethro?
Well, I think the reason is that they as a couple wanted to have children. Contrary to popular belief, not every married couple wants to have children. But for those who want to have children and could not, I think that's when it becomes a problem for them. Just the fact that they wanted to have children is what made it a problem, if that makes sense, because that's a strong desire for them.
Right, and there's also people who really, they want to have children, but they can't have children. Do you think that those people that don't have children, like in the case with Indy, she's feeling, a depressive state of mind. Why is that having such a depressive state of mind on her? I mean, is it the fact that she's a woman that might feel like her time clock or she's not complete without having given birth to a child?
Well, again, I'm really answering from a psychological point. As you know, both you and I have behavior science background. Is anything that you desire greatly and you can't have that, it can throw you into a depressive state if you allow it to do so. So, again, this is just such a strong desire for her. And perhaps, little girls are programmed with doll babies. So we grow up, some of us, thinking that we want to be mothers. Not everybody. I need to put that out there because there are people out there who just don't want to have kids. But for those who want it and they find out that they can't, and then the other thing I heard about Dr. Walker is there doesn't seem to be a cause. Most of the people I know that can't have children, there's some cause that they found out. But this couple, their test showed that everything was okay. So that must make it even harder.
Yeah, I'm certain that it does. And I ditto your comments and your thoughts on that because, when the couple, I find that a couple that really desire to have children, particularly both of them, it gets to a point where, after a while, it does become frustrating. And as is the case with Indy, she seems to be taking things out on Jethro. We welcome our callers. If you're just joining us, welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Tonight's topic is the impact on relationships and marriages of childless couples. And I know that this is an unusual topic because there are probably more people out there that have children as opposed to those that do not have children. So if you're just joining us, our couple tonight in the story is Indy and Jethro, like Jethro from the Hillbillies. Indy and Jethro. And what's happening, in spite of the fact that this couple has been married for 4 years, they can't seem to get pregnant. And it's causing, they're both 30, and their goal is to have children before they reach the age of 35. But this doesn't seem, there's nothing medically wrong with them, according to the tests that have been done under the supervision of physicians. And now it's gotten to the point where Indy is starting to take out her frustrations on her husband, Jethro. And so tonight's topic, once again, the impact on relationships and marriages of childless couples. And so we're going to go to the phone lines, and we started out our questioning tonight by asking one of the questions, why do you think it's so difficult having children? Why do you think not having children problem for this particular couple? And so if you want to speak to that issue, or you want to speak to an experience that you've had with somebody that, you know, childless and they've been trying to get pregnant, then share that with us. We're going to go to the phone lines early this evening, and we welcome your comments as well. We'll try to read as many as we possibly can. We're going to go to 954, looks like 226. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have on the air this evening?
Hi, Dr. Walker. It's Rose.
Rose, welcome to the show this evening. Rose, give us your thoughts on, you know, childless couples or Indy and Jethro.
I can just imagine how depressing it is for her because they want to, I mean, for both of them, but especially the wife, because, you know, most women just don't feel complete unless they have a child, at least those who want to have children. Of course, you have those who don't have any desire of having kids, and that's different. But I believe when that's your desire, you know, it can take a toll on you. It can, a negative toll, if you allow it to. It's just like, as Ms. Blake said, when you want something, you just want it, you know? And when you don't get it, you kind of feel a bit disappointed. And so think about that like 100-fold over. You know, India is feeling less than a woman, maybe. I remember when after I had my first child and I wanted to have a second child, my husband and I, and we were trying, and I couldn't become pregnant, and it was very depressing. I prayed, and I keep praying. I kept praying and asking God, you know, to just give me another child, and I will give it back to him, you know, and I already had a child, okay? So I can just imagine for someone who have none and is trying so hard to have one, and they just can't seem to have one. So I understand, and my heart goes out to India. Now, I heard that you mentioned in the story that they've been to the doctor, everything is checked out, and there don't seem to be any problems why she shouldn't have a child, why she shouldn't be able to get pregnant, or they couldn't be able to get pregnant. And I'm thinking about the stress, you know, the fact that they are so eager to have a child, maybe they're putting too much stress on themselves, and maybe it's a possibility that that is hindering the pregnancy to take place. And, of course, now that they are going at each other, she's upset with him. You know, maybe he can't even perform as well as he could. So, I mean, there's a lot to take in consideration. I think they need to try to go away on vacation, just relax, try to forget about getting pregnant, you know. And maybe, who knows, you know, it might just happen.
Hey, Rose, I thank you for those comments. I want to, just before we continue with the phone lines, you said something earlier, and I want to revisit that. When you mentioned how, you know, the woman, when you want something, I think you're generally speaking here, when a person wants something, they just want it. But, you know, isn't this slightly different? Because it's just like, okay, you know, a child wants a bicycle, you know, for Christmas, and they become adamant about it. Or, you know, a female wants a ring, perhaps, and they become adamant about it. But then, I mean, when you take this is more intrinsic. This is something natural. I mean, do you find that there's a big difference that might even be more meaningful, of course, than material things?
Yes, and that's why I said multiply that 100-fold, you know, because it goes much deeper than just wanting some kind of material things. This, of course, is intrinsic, and you need that. You really need that need to be satisfied. So I just wanted to let the audience know that, you know, wanting a ring, as you say, you know, that's a material thing, but you want it. And for some reason, you won't rest until you get it. And you might pout or you might become frustrated with the person who you want to buy for you. So think about that and multiply that feeling 100 times to kind of have an idea how someone who wants a child and can't possibly get pregnant might just be feeling.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. We're going to ask you to stand by. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. We're going to go once again to the phone lines before we start to take any comments in. We're going to go to 205-908. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have on the air with us this evening?
This is Jack. How's everybody doing tonight?
I'm doing
great,
Jack.
Okay, good. Listen, there's a very interesting story you got. Very interesting story about India and Jethro. And you say they're 30 years old, and there's nothing medically wrong, but maybe she needs to go and get a second opinion. And she can't take her frustrations out on Jethro because he's probably doing his part, and she thinks she's doing her part. So maybe something's wrong with one of them. You never know. But anyway, I kind of agree with what Rose was saying, a lot of that, you know, and I'm sure they're kind of frustrated now, 30, and they had set a goal that they want to have children by the time they reach 35. That's to me, that's a realistic goal. But there's other ways they can get children as well. But I'm sure they want their own biological kids. But, you know, there's other means of adopting and other ways and all. I was asking someone just the other day, it's ironic that you mentioned this, because I think I was asking someone, I said, well, you know, so many people have so many children, and they can't afford them. And I think the impetus is that they should be able to afford as many children as they can have, as many children as they can afford. So if you have five children and you can afford them, that's fine. If you have five children and you can't afford them, then that's a problem, because you're going to be looking for all kind of handouts, welfare and all of that. So, but in this case here with India and Jeff, I think they need to pursue every means possible to see what they can do as far as having children, because this is what they want. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know if someone said this already, but children kind of like bond you together. That's kind of like bond the family together and bring you together. Now, you're loving each other from the beginning, but it seems like there's a stronger love, and it's tying you together or connecting you together when you have children, because now you have someone else that's going to carry your name as long as you live. Husband and wives sometimes split up, but the children, I never heard of children divorcing their parents, but in this day and age, you never know. you never know, but I think children really bonds the family together.
Well, I've heard of children suing their parents, certainly. So I don't know if that's a form of divorce or not. Ms. Lake, you want to chime in? Go ahead.
Oh, wow. There's a lot that can be said, but I think all the comments are really good. So let's just flow with it at this point. A good comment.
Okay. All right, let's go to another phone line before we start taking our first comment to come in shortly. We're going to go to 863-236. Thank you. You're on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have on the air with us?
It's Diana, Dr. Walker. Greetings to everyone.
Hello.
Okay. Greetings. Okay.
Yes.
Diana, thank you so very much for joining us this evening. We're talking about childless couples. I mean, and here it is to the point where India, of course, a time clock, an internal clock, seems to be running short, but she's got another window of 5 years. But, you know, it's causing problems in the marriage. Why do you think it's causing problems in the marriage? I mean, I heard what Jack said, and I think that was a very interesting point, that children can bond the family. But what about families who may be in their second or third marriage that don't have any children together? And now we're going to ask Jack to speak to that as well. But let me get your thoughts, Diana.
Well, I think they're having problems because they really just don't know any better. They knew what I knew. They know that. But anyway, like you say, everybody's comments, I agree with them, and there are other ways that they can have children, like is that Jack, that what Jack said, you know, artificial insemination, or, you know, there's so many methods now with medical technology that they can have fulfilled those desires another way if they can't do it biologically between each other. And then there's always adoption. There are so many children out there that need to have homes, and that's another way that, you know, it can be done. I can understand how it is because I remember when my biological clock went off, and I don't get me wrong, I love children. I really do. The children of today, that's just a different story. I don't want to be having children in this world today, and that's just my opinion. Please don't shoot me for it. But it's just because of what can I say, the environment that is out there, it's really difficult to keep children on track. And so I think parenting is like maybe 100 times harder today than it was, even when I was raising my children. So, that's what I have to say with that. And then as far as children, if you're married a second or third time, I think by then you know what it's like to have had children, if you had children in your previous marriage, so that you're just ready for the ride to where they can just come and you can be this one big happy family, and then they go.
All right, I think that's an interesting, you know, and I think many of us laugh, and certainly people can tell why they laugh, but I laugh because, you know, for the couples who have been through that, just like you said, maybe in the second or third marriages now, and they're just enjoying the ride, because I'm thinking when you initially said that they don't know any better, I'm just thinking of the blessings that that, you know, on that other end. You know, you start out with, you know, the challenges of raising children, and then it's like you get some relief. Jack, so go ahead and let me hear you speak to that issue.
Oh, I agree. I was just listening to what you were saying. I definitely agree. Now, I don't know about, you know, second, third, and fourth marriages and all, and I don't know. I'm trying to put myself in that relationship now. Would I be in there just for the ride? I don't know if I would just be in there for the ride. But I was thinking about a friend of mine that shared with me that he was going to marry this a young lady, and she had daughters and all, and, you know, the father was still actively involved in their lives and all. And he decided that, he didn't want to do that. He would wait until the children were grown, and then they would get married. I thought that was admirable, I mean, to even think about that, because, like she said, I don't know the young lady's name who just had spoken on it. She said, but it's hard to raise kids nowadays. It's like 100% harder than what it was probably when we were coming up and all. But I wouldn't, I mean, as a woman, if I were a woman and, you know, I had girls and all, I wouldn't want another man coming in and being over my daughters and all. And even being from a father's perspective, I wouldn't want that either. So those are my thoughts. I just wanted to share that.
Okay, well, we appreciate that, Jack, and thank you for your comments. And that was Diana that spoke on that.
Okay, Diana, okay.
All right, we're going to go to the phone lines again. We're going to go to 863-412. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Who do we have on the air with us?
You have Dennis on the air this evening, and I want to say welcome back, Jack. Hi, Diana.
How you doing, Dennis?
Frank and Ms. Bowles.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Oh, yeah, and Dr. Walker, too. I can speak to you, too.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome, Dennis. We appreciate you coming on the air tonight. Give us your thoughts on what do you think is going on.
But I wanted to talk about a family that was wanted to have children really bad, and the lady got pregnant, and the lady actually the couple was from Bermuda, and they came to the States because she started having medical problems when she was pregnant, and she got so sick that she couldn't even walk anymore, many other medical problems, and they were trying to figure out what was going on. And just carrying the baby was killing her. And they had an abortion, had to do a medical and abortion.
Oh, my.
And the lady got better.
Oh, wow.
And, it, you know, sometimes we want things so bad, and we don't know what the outcome is.
That's right.
It, you know, like this couple wants the baby, but and medically, you know, if I understood the story correctly, medically there was nothing wrong why they shouldn't be able to have a baby,
mm-hmm.
but
right.
they still couldn't get pregnant. Maybe
right.
it could have been for the best. You know, yes,
okay.
it was starting to cause problems in the relationship, but they needed to turn it over to the Lord.
Absolutely.
Let the Lord lead and guide, because not always what we want is the best thing for us. Just like you're, you know, like Jack was saying and Diana was saying, raising a child nowadays, and Rose talked about it too, is not the easiest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jack said, you know, like when we were coming along, we minded our parents.
That's right.
And the people down the street.
Mm-hmm.
If we did something down the street, mm-hmm. we could get spanked
right.
down the street and got spanked when we got home because we got spanked down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
But nowadays, you spank somebody's child down the street. And,
well, you spank
your
own
children,
you're going to jail now.
They're going to put
correct.
You in jail.
Yeah, you spank your own children, you're probably going to jail now as well, Dennis.
Oh, so, yeah.
Forget
about
that,
that's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, especially if I spank my children now, because they both as big as I am, you know. I got to worry about the law coming in. I got to worry about them coming in.
let me ask you this question quickly, just before Ms. Blake can jump in at any point in time. We're
mm-hmm.
going to go to Rose with all of our comments that will come in. But let me ask this question. As you mentioned something here about, you know, the praying, and sometimes it's not, and I agree with you, you know, when we surrender our will and we ask for God's will, he knows everything, so he knows what's best. But how would someone like Indy find peace or contentment in knowing that it just hasn't happened? And I like what Rose said earlier, that, you know, just don't think about it and it just might happen. But what would you say in terms of, if you were giving Indy advice over the internet right now, the radio, what would you tell her, if anything?
I would tell her about a pastor that I had, and him and his wife wanted children as well, and were not having children. She had a medical problem, and it caused her not to be able to get pregnant. So
mm-hmm.
they did the alternative, and they adopted a child.
Mm-hmm.
And 9 months after they adopted the child, she got pregnant. Because they weren't worrying about getting pregnant anymore.
Okay, that makes
uh-huh.
sense.
Oh,
that
like
makes
me.
A lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I know of stories like that where lots of children came after the adoption, and I know of stories where they didn't have any other children and they did adopt. In fact, I'm a product of adoption, and I had a wonderful life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are lots of different things, but I would tell her to try not to stress about it, and then get involved with, you know, like your Boys and Girls Club, you know, being a big sister, you know, just capitalizing on those other opportunities. And then before you know it, hopefully it'll happen. And then as Ms. Diane said, there are other things, even surrogate parenting. There's lots of other options to look at.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
and getting a second opinion as well, as Jack said.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wanted to make
you know,
a comment.
Go ahead, Diana.
I think.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, regarding the, was that Dennis that said that when she had adopted a child and she got pregnant, I had a grandson who could not get pregnant, and she got a puppy. She got a puppy, and then she got pregnant. I think it's something about these situations that sort of bring out a maternal instinct in the body. It's like it kicks on that rhythm or that clock or whatever that causes things
so
to just take place.
That is so interesting.
Yeah, I'd like to chime in on that. I think it may, this is just my theory, go back to what I said in the beginning of the show
about the strong desire and the psychological impact. So those people who get the puppy, adopt the child, then the stress goes away.
That's right.
And stress plays a huge factor in our physiological function.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, based on what you all are saying with what Dennis has presented and Diane and the group here this evening in discussion are saying, that energy that comes in, and I think that what I'll do is I'll put a lot of money around me. And so that money can, you know, I become impregnated with love. I kind of have to throw that in. I mean, because what you think about, you bring about, you know, laws of attraction. Let's go to Rose. Rose, did you have any other comments? Do you know of anyone, Rose, that may have gotten pregnant later in life after having been married for a number of years?
I totally agree with what everyone said, and I was thinking about what Dennis said earlier. You know, I was thinking if India were to adopt a child, you know, then maybe she might get pregnant, because that has happened so often, you know, where after they adopt a child, then they end up getting pregnant, and that's what I was when I said, you know, maybe they're too stressed, and if they were just to go take a vacation, do something else, forget about getting pregnant, you would be surprised that, you know, since there's no medically problem, anything wrong with them medically, then I don't see why they can't. But I just feel like they're just so stressed and just thinking about it too much. But, yes, I've heard about a case where this lady and her husband were married for 23 years. And, I mean, they wanted to have kids, and they just couldn't get pregnant for 23 years, and now that she's 45, she's 4 months pregnant. Now, this is happening right now, you know. So I don't know what happened those 23 years. Maybe they were trying too hard, and now they probably gave up, you know, whatever, you know, what, you know what, I'm just going to accept the fact that we can't get pregnant and just go on and enjoy my life. Now, she's pregnant.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, Rose, because I have a colleague that's in a similar situation, and she can get pregnant for a number of years, and she's older in life as well. And her cousin that works with her, got pregnant about a year ago, and the baby is about 9 months now. And by her being so close to that baby, this particular lady that I'm speaking about, she became pregnant. And so after a number, she was married for more than 17 years, and now being around her cousin who works closely with her, and she's become the godparent to her cousin's child, she's now become pregnant. That is so interesting. I mean, it's really amazing how things can work out.
Okay, so that. Dr. Walker, you're saying that those people who don't want to have babies, they need to stay around. Stay away from people with babies in. I'm just being funny.
You know what? It could stay away, or either stay away from the doctor, but there's got to be something to that. And, you know, it would be interesting that science look into that, because even the puppy that was mentioned earlier, and I believe Diana mentioned about the friend who had a puppy and the woman got pregnant. I mean, there's some light that comes in. Light begets light. Let's take a look at some of the comments that are coming in, and let's give the first one here to Rose. This male writes in, he says, in reference to the impact on relationships and marriage on childless couples, my heart goes out to couples who have no children because I really don't think they realize the joy children bring into the home. Rose, I mean, some people think, I see a lot of young couples now very tense when they have children at home. So, and I'm always thinking that children bring joy, like this guy is saying. What are your thoughts?
I totally agree. You know, in most cases, the children bring joy. I think it's just that some parents, especially when they're so young, they just don't know how to deal with balancing life with the children. So they make it become too stressful for them, and of course, sometimes they end up taking it out on the child. But I believe God intended for children to be a blessing to families, and it just makes the home more lively. And I just can't imagine not having children. But I also wanted to comment on the puppy and the lady who got pregnant because, you know, after her cousin gave birth, I just believe that maybe it took their mind off their own issues. It took their mind off the fact that they can't get pregnant. Now this person have a puppy to play with, and so she kind of focused her attention there instead of keep thinking about her own situation. She's focusing giving love to this puppy, and that lady around her cousin's baby, you know, she's just loving the child. And so I believe, this is my own theory, is that now the attention is taken off her, you know, the stress of thinking about getting pregnant, and she's given to somebody else or given to this puppy, you know, and so she becomes more relaxed and therefore able to get pregnant.
That's an interesting perspective. Go ahead, Ms. Blake.
Yes, I think Rose makes a very good point, and I just thought about with my last son, which we planned in my marriage, couldn't get pregnant, you know, was doing all the right things, taking the temperature and all that stuff, and then I finally said, well, we want to have kids a certain time of year, so we was like, okay, well, we'll just wait till next year, and once we did that, boom, I was pregnant. So, again, it's that relaxation and taking the pressure off of the process.
Well, I think that becomes so interesting. I think that's a very interesting perspective. We're going to ask Diana. Diana, will you weigh in on what this guy says about children bringing so much joy, since you were saying earlier, and we all laugh about it, that they don't know how any better. What are your thoughts on what this guy said?
I believe under the right circumstances and when children are raised properly, they absolutely bring joy into our relationship. Absolutely they do. I'm not going to discount that at all. It's just that we have so much dysfunction in our families these days that children aren't getting the attention they need or the balance or the schedule or the proper diet or all of the above. And so therefore we have a lot of children spinning out of control and stressing out their parents. But they, when I was going through massage school, they said, if a child is out of control, to fix the mother. Fix the mother, then the child will be fine. So, but I also like to say as well, I give a lot of credence to what both those said. And my mind is going blank. Our co-host, please excuse me.
That's okay. Go ahead.
They said, but, you know, I wanted to bring this other scenario into play, and that is, and I think we as women will recognize it when I say it, and I don't mean to sound gross off, but this is just a bodily function that takes place. But if you put two women in a household, they will all start to ministrate at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
It does happen. They will all synchronize to ministry at the same time when they're in close proximity in a household with mm-hmm. one another. And so I'm just wondering if there is some biological factor that plays with either, you know, the babies or the puppies that causes that system to activate.
Okay, that's an interesting perspective. If you're just joining us, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Tonight's topic is the impact on relationships and marriages of childless couples. And we've got this has been a very live show and energized tonight. You know, and you can listen to the show in its entirety about 15 minutes after it airs. Once again, let me just go here. Let's take another comment that's coming into the studio. I mean, this is really good, and we've got about 15 minutes before we bring the show to a close, and the producers are letting me know they're considering maybe doing a part two on this sometime in the future. But for now, let's just go ahead and take a look at another comment. And, Jack, we're going to throw this one out to you. This party writes in, female, the impact on relationships and marriages on childless couples. Although it seems that children bring some degree of stress, I don't think life is complete without them. I think we've shared a lot to that, but Jack, give us your thoughts on her comment.
some degree of stress. Some degree of stress. A major degree of stress, to be honest with you. But we still love them in spite of, you know, the stress that they bring or the problems that they bring with it. And we can look at our own selves. We probably brought a lot of stress on our own parents, you know, back in the day and all. But someone said it earlier that nowadays it's very, very difficult to start a family and to raise children and all. But I wanted to comment on the show tonight is an excellent show. I would encourage everybody, if they didn't get a chance to hear it, they can go back, as you said, 15 minutes after the show, and they can listen to it because it's very interesting. And I think everybody needs to hear about this. And then I wanted to mention also that children are an heritage. That's how the Bible puts it there, the heritage of the Lord. And also we've already been commissioned, you know, to be fruitful and multiply. Now, you're going to find that a lot of times that if you've been married for a long period of time and you don't have any children, you'll find that when you start having children, let's say 10 years down the line, that's kind of late. That's why a lot of people kind of like to have them early. But like 10 years down the line and you decided that now it's time for you to have children, then one of the parties, and most likely is going to be the father, he's going to be a little jealous of the baby because now she's spending more time with the child. And all the time that he used to get when she used to nurture him and all, now she's spending that time I think all of that comes into play, and we need to work towards bringing a bond, a unity within the family and all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dennis, let me go to you real quickly here and ask this question, since Jack brought it up, that later down the road they started to have kids, and where the man may have felt, in a number of cases, that he got the nurturing, and now this baby is nibbling on what he used to nibble on. I mean, what if should he go with the other nibble, or what would you tell this man, Dennis?
That's funny. I would have to tell him that he has to share.
He has to share, okay.
I have to say it was funny. My wife was telling people that that's what happened to me. she breastfed our children.
Right.
And she said that I told her to stop breastfeeding so I could go back. And that's not true.
So it's not true, Dennis. If we had her on the phone, would she say otherwise? I mean, really.
Yes, she would. She would. And since you're on the phone, I deny it 100%. That's my story, and I think you do it.
Of course. Ms. Blake, let me ask you this question. Go ahead.
I was going to finish and say that the man, it takes 9 months to have a baby, and it takes a man 9 months to get his head right for this baby to come as well.
Okay. There's something hidden in that. You all got to really listen to the podcast.
I did get it when you first said it.
I know I did. Okay. Ms. Blake, let me ask you, when here it is with this lady's comments, she's saying that in terms of the children, you know, they do bring the joy, of course, and, of course, the stress as well. But do you think that she's saying they're not complete without them because a woman, is she speaking maybe as a woman? A woman, you know, there are so many women that may feel incomplete without having a child. Your thoughts, please.
There are some that feel incomplete without having a child. I couldn't identify with that. I'm sorry. For me,
okay.
my first child was unplanned. I was in college, and I love my son. He just turned 30. And then we planned our second child after marriage. And, of course, I love my children. But prior to having a child, I don't think I felt incomplete, you know. So it depends on the person. It really does. But, again, if they want to have a child,
they are going to feel a void until that happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. All right. Let's take another comment, Diana. We're going to go throw this one at you. This comes from a male. He says, I grew up as an only child and found it to be quite boring because there were oftentimes no one to play with me. I think children make a big difference in the home. My parents did not always seem happy with each other. Maybe it had something to do with the lack of more children. They didn't have enough stress, Diana? What is he saying?
I guess I grew up one of four siblings, five of us all together. And I recall one time, which was rare, that my siblings wasn't home. And I thought it was very lonely and boring and thought, wow. I used to think I would love to be an only child, but after having that experience, I really enjoyed having the companionship of siblings around. So I'm not – his other comment was that he felt like his parents were not happy because they didn't have more
children.
Yes,
they were not happy with each other. They didn't always seem to get along with each other. And he was wondering if that may have been due to a lack of having more children in the home. To bring some stress instead of them taking it out perhaps on each other.
That's
you
a hard one for me to comment on a bit because I do understand the syndrome that whatever is happening with the parents, the children tend to think that they are the cause of whatever, the divorce or the cause of their unhappiness. So I don't understand that, though. But
right.
Let
me throw
that
one over to Rose and ask her the same. Let's throw it over to Rose and ask her the same question. Do you think in this particular, and none of us know, I mean, of course, it's all speculation, and we're just giving our opinions here. But, Rose, do you think that this young man, he saw that his parents didn't always get along, and children know when there's problems in the home. They know. They're just like, you know, those puppies and stuff. Puppies know when they're loved. Children know when they're loved. They know when the couple are having problems, and that's why it's not always good that people stay together just for the sake of children. They know when it's not going on, when things are going wrong. Rose, let me just throw this at you. Do you think that maybe the lack of having more children at home, where their attention was diverted because, you know, child, hey, go hang up your clothes. Go pick up this off the floor. You know, that thing that you go through like 575 times to one child. So it was only one, and he may have been obedient, because he's getting the 575 from each parent. So, but if there's two or three or four in the home, then that parent's got to tell each one of them children 575 times to pick up their shoes before they finally catch it. What do you think? Having more siblings, maybe? What was your life perhaps like? Did your parents get along?
Get along perfectly. But there were five of us also in the home, and we grew up together, close always. So I guess my parents always have something to do with the kids. As far as this person, maybe that's why they didn't have any more, because they're always fighting, so they had no time for lovemaking. Or maybe if they were making love more, they would not fight so much. I really don't know what to say about that, but as Diane said, I'm lost for words with that also.
I can check it.
But I agree that if they had more kids, there is a possibility that they might not fight so much because they wouldn't have the time. When I am at work, I have a lot of students in my classroom, it's always I'm never bored, and as a matter of fact, never tired either because I have to constantly be on the go. But if we have some kind of special thing going on, and I might only have two or three kids, you know, it's really boring, you know. So I think the more kids you have, is the busier you are, and, you know, you don't have time for much other things. You have to constantly be dealing with the kids. So maybe that's what he's talking about.
Okay, interesting. Jack, what was your thought on that?
Okay, yeah, I agree with some of those things that Rose was saying. She said she couldn't comment on it, but she did well commenting on it. I think that the more children you have, I think it brings more excitement to the family and all. And I was happy to hear what the person said, that they were an only child and they were very, very bored, and they saw their parents. I'm not happy to that part, that they saw the parents fighting all the time, but he wanted a sibling so he can probably bounce things off of and share things with. And just having a sibling, it makes things different for you at home. But I was thinking that when, if you, let's say, for example, you've been married for a long time, and then that empty nest comes in, and then the parents so used to having the children there, and that's, let's say, for example, the mother, that's her domain, you know, because she basically, you know, take care of the children and all of that. And then when they leave, then it's like just she and her husband are there, and then they didn't do all that much talking, and then all of a sudden now the kids are gone, and then they don't even really know what to say. It's like starting all over again. Maybe they can fall in love all over again and all. But you will be surprised that when the empty nest leaves, when you have an empty nest, then the husband and wife, you know, they go through some battles and all. But it sounds like to me in this situation, that this scenario that you gave, that they were having those battles even while the child was there. But I think the more children you have, it brings more excitement to the home.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Ms. Blake, what do you think? The more children you have, the more excitement, or the more stress, the more bills? What do you think?
I just think it's good. I was an only child, and I thought I rather enjoyed it. But on the other hand, we decided we would have at least two children because I wanted my children to have, you know, somebody in the future when we were long gone. So it just depends. But as far as that couple, there were probably some problems going on anyway that might not have even been related to the child, I'm sure.
I agree. We're going to go take another comment. We've got about 3 minutes. We're going to take two more comments. Let's get to those comments right now. This female writes in. She says, I think, Dennis, we'll give you this one, and we're going to ask if you could be brief on this one, 15 seconds or less, if you would, please. This female writes in. She says, I think couples who do not have any children in the home because one may not be able to have kids should consider adoption. I was adopted, and it worked out for me along with my two siblings who were also adopted. We're thankful to have had a family. Dennis, I mean, there you go. I think somebody spoke to that earlier about, you know, considering adoption. What are your thoughts on this? It worked out for them.
I want to say in 60% of the cases, adoption works out for both sides. And it is a good thing because there are a lot of children. I've been in the school system, and then where there's children that have been adopted are in the school system, usually can balance out their life because now they feel wanted. They feel needed by somebody. And when you have a couple that really wants a child, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good. Dana, we're going to give you this one here. This female writes in, she says, I think childless couples should enjoy themselves as long as they choose to. Afterwards, consider adopting or trying some medical procedure to get pregnant. Being without children for an extended period of time is not so bad. I think when you prolong it, that's when it could turn out to be challenging. You may have spoken to something this here earlier because you said they don't know how, you know, they don't know any better. So here she's saying, you know, the longer you prolong it, what do you?
Well, the longer you prolong it is where you can start running into problems because I believe once you start getting into your 40s, then the woman is high risk and there can be complications. And then also I feel that, you know, when we're younger, we have the energy for children and we have the patience for children. But as we get older, those things start to change as our body starts to age and energy levels start to wane. And then when you start to bring children on later in life, you know, you just may not have the gumption to deal with them as you would have if they had come earlier. So I would say, you know, try, you know, definitely when you're younger, look at all your options and maybe explore some of those and probably have a cutoff time. Because I think at a certain time in a marriage and in your life, you start looking towards planning retirement or looking towards doing the things that you would want to do once the children are up and out of the home.
Right.
And so if you're raising children or just having a child at 40, then it's, you know, by the time you're 50, the child's only 10 years old, you're always going to have that child with you as you're going into those retirement years where I think
right.
couples start to have that, that youthful reunion of what they had when they were younger. You know, they get a second chance on life and living it in the way that they want to be sort of carefree without having children around.
All right, we're out of time here now. We thank you for the comment. Ms. Blake, 10 seconds or less. What's the final word you have for childless couples out there to enjoy their lives?
To just try not to be stressed, find other options, and explore other options.
All right. On that note, we're out of time. We're going to thank all of you all for joining us this evening. Those of you all we weren't able to get to, we do apologize for that. Please continue to follow us on Facebook and also take note of our blogs that we're sending in. Join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program from 7 to 7:30. Of course, if you choose to bypass this Friday, join us again next Tuesday when our topic will be, are you happy with the decisions you made in your past? Once again, next Tuesday's topic, are you happy with the decisions you made in your past? All right, until either this Friday or until next Tuesday, I tell my listening audience, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.